On this great and final day of camp meeting, would you stand with me and pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray? We say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. As a personal note, Meredith and I would like to thank you once again for having us at Paisano. I feel some bit of accomplishment that I made all 3 years. I feel like that's a bit of a victory. We came here 3 years ago. The first day we were here, we were like ducklings on a pond, just sort of fluttering around trying to figure our way. Yesterday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my daughter Molly Catherine was baptized here. And this place is, yeah, that's appropriate. This place has been extremely important in her spiritual growth and development. You have partnered with us to lead our precious girl into the arms of Christ. And for that, we will forever be grateful. Yesterday was one of the high peak days of my life. And I'm glad that it happened here on these mountains. So thank you very much. Today, we close out with one more sermon under the broad title, What a Mess, God's Grace in the Real World. We go to a text in the Old Testament that is one of the mountain peak texts in the Bible. It occurs early in the story. It's from Genesis chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. From this text, we will see some of the great pillars, the foundational stones, if you will, of life with God in this world as it is. As we cock our eye toward the good future that God is preparing for his people. Let's hear the word of the Lord, beginning in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, Look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body that will be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven. And count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all of these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the pieces. On that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. This is one of the important, vital texts. It's so central to our understanding of life with God. This is a text that calls us to the core commitments of grace and faith and works. This text drips with the mercy of God, and it calls us to a response, and it recognizes the tough, gritty stuff of life. Let's look at those three pillars in a row. First, this is a text about grace. Grace means God operates first, that grace comes for us, that grace seeks and to save that which is lost. To me, one of the most powerful moments in our communion service last night was the simple announcement, if you cannot come, the elements will be brought to you. Simply raise your hand and we'll bring the elements to you. Friend, when it came to life with God, none of us were able to come on our own. And God, in His rich mercy, came for us and offered us life. That is grace. That is grace, the extended open hands of God offering us a gift. And this is how God came to Abram. God called him and he made him promises. And here those promises are being renewed. He said to Abram, I am. He said, first, I am your shield. That's a shorthand poetic way of saying, I am your king. One of the great calls of the New Testament is to declare, I have no king but Jesus. I will not bow my knee to Caesar because Jesus is my king. He said to Abram, I have come and I have come to be your king. To take hold of your life. To provide for you and to reign over you and to be your strength and your song. And he said, and I am your exceeding great reward. Why did God say that? Was he egotistical in the way we think about these things? No. What does God have greater to offer than his very self? He said, you want a reward? You want something to celebrate? Here goes, Abram. You ready to hear it? I'm your reward. I'm your reward. On a day like this, when we look back and look forward, it's important to remember that God has made his promise. And he said, I am your exceeding great reward. That's grace. He says, I'm the one who brought you. God seems to say this a lot in Scripture. I'm the ones who brought you. In the case of Abram, I'm the one who brought you from your family, from Ur. I called you out and I said, I will show you where I want you to go. He would say to the children of Israel, I brought you out of your slavery. To us, he would say, I brought you out of your sin. Look back. Look back at who I have been for you. Look back at what I have done for you. I am the one who brought you out. I am the God of grace. He said, I am the God of your future. Yes, I know that you have been promised. I know that you have been told, and I know that yet in your family there is no heir from your body. But an heir is coming. A people are coming, and a place for them is coming. God asked them to look toward their future. For him to look with faith and hope and trust that he would fulfill the promises that he made. I love the line in here. It says, God took him outside. I wonder if they were sitting at the kitchen table. I don't know how these things work. He said, God carried him outside and said, look up. Boy, the night sky at Paisano is amazing, isn't it? Imagine you stood there. Did you feel small? If you had any sense, you did. Did you feel overwhelmed, the magnitude? Well, here's Abram and God in his ear. Saying, take a look. If you can count, let's just take a minute, Abram. Let's see if we can count them. How you doing with that? When you get bored, you count the bolts, don't you? In the ceiling here. How many of them are there? Look at the bolts, friends. If you can count them, your descendants will be beyond these. How will I know, God? How will I know? And then Abram and God went through this kind of wild religious experience, this covenant cutting. And Abram brought offerings, and they were sawed in two and placed side by side. Only the birds weren't, because birds are little. Don't overthink it, y'all. Brought them and they laid them apart. And at night, after God speaks to Abram in his dreams and his visions, when it gets dark, the manifest presence of God comes through the midst of these animals. This is a land grant treaty, if you will. This is God saying, let it be done to me. Let me be divided if I don't keep my promise. You know, if I was God, I wouldn't have to double dog dare anybody. But God created us in such a way that we respond, reject. It's a real relationship that is real. And here is God saying in the boldest terms, I will keep my promise to you concerning your future and your hope. Just as I have kept the promises to you along the way. Just as I brought you out, I surely will bring you in. When we come to the Lord's table, we're reminded of the covenant that was cut for us. We look back and we're reminded and we're told to do this in remembrance of Jesus. And the great apostle tells us as we come to the table that we do this proclaiming the Lord's death when? Until? Thank you. With our eye toward the future, we serve a God of grace. Messy, ostentatious, bloody, fiery grace. Thanks be to God. And this grace requires a response. Verse 6 may be one of the strongest verses in the Bible, one of the most important. And he believed the Lord, and it accounted to him as righteousness. We know that Paul made much of this in his writings in the New Testament, both in Romans and Galatians. We know that this passage of Scripture seized the heart of Martin Luther and John Wesley and so many others who gave their lives for Christ and his gospel. Abram believed God. When I was about 11 years old, I was struggling with my decision to follow Christ and to be baptized. I talked with my mom and dad, and they do what so many parents do. They took me to the preacher. And the preacher was a benevolent, wonderful man named Cecil Randall. He'd been a professor at New Orleans Seminary and pastor of First Baptist Tuscaloosa and many other places. Just a great guy. He told wonderful stories. He loved God and he loved us. Took me into Dr. Randall's office, and he brought a little dime out of his pocket. You know, inflation, I have a quarter today. He brought a dime out, and he said, Matt, I want to give you a gift. And he gave me the dime, and I took it. And he said, Matt, when did this gift become yours? I said, well, Dr. Randall, it's when you gave it to me. He said, give it back. I said, okay. He said, let's try this again. He said, Matt, I want to give you a gift. And I took the dime. He said, now, when did this gift become yours? I said, Dr. Randall, it's when I received it. He said, absolutely. He said, the big Bible words for that, Matt, is grace and faith. He says, God has been giving you gifts all of your life and before you were born. He said, thousands of years ago, Jesus proved his love for you by dying for your sins on the cross. Do you believe that? Yes, sir, Dr. Randall, I believe that. And there have been men and women in your life that have lived before you and told you and told the stories and shared with you all about what that means, about God's people and about Christ. And that's God's grace in your life. God's been giving you gifts all along. And he said, Matt, now it's your turn to receive by faith that gift that he gave. Are you ready to do that? I said, Dr. Randall, I am ready to do that. Friends, there is no question that God has been a God of grace towards you. That is without question. That is not controversial. The scripture says he demonstrated his love for us in this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and said, I will be your king and your reward. He proved it. Have you received by faith that gift? Walter Brueggemann said, Paul has well understood the claims of this text. The future of God's goodness is open to those who trust themselves to that future, seeking neither to hold on to the present nor to conjure an alternative future of their own. What keeps us from receiving the free gift of God's grace? What we're clinging to in the moment. Our claim on our own life. And our schemes and plans to conjure some future without reference to God. Cut that loose and receive from him that precious gift that only he can give. And if you have done that, never, 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 never cease to be amazed at the grace of God. Don't ever get over it, but live from it each and every day of your life. It will put joy in your heart and steel in your spine. The people that we look to with so much respect and even awe are people who have learned to live with open hands, receiving from God and offering to others. People whose lives have been transformed by grace and faith. May he continue to work in our lives. Now finally, and this is not a throwaway, this is kind of crucial to life. There's also this call in this text, sort of tucked away and hidden there as a throwaway line, to be a people that work, that labor in the world that is, waiting for the world to come. I think one of the oddest verses in all the Bible is verse 11 of chapter 15 of Genesis. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. In this great story of grace and faith and covenant and God's bigness and God's promise to be the shield and the exceedingly great reward, buzzards show up. And notice who had to clean out the vultures. Abram shooed them away. And you get the notion this is not a one-time thing, that he laid those offerings out. He set up this great covenant ceremony for God. And as he was waiting on the night to fall, as he was waiting on God to do his thing, as he was waiting on who knows what from his mind's sake, there are buzzards showing up. Buzzards! And he has to shoo them away. Friends, you might want to pause here and ask, God, couldn't you have done a little better job with this? You are the God who manifests your presence with fire and in might and with promise and fulfillment. Could you have not handled the buzzards? Why, oh why, God, am I shooing buzzards? I don't know all of the answers to that, but I do know this. We live in a world that is both our Father's world and a world in rebellion from our Father. We live in a world marred by our rebellion and our sin. We live in a world filled with things like mosquitoes and buzzards and death. The world it is. But God is not satisfied with the world it is. And as beautiful as this ain't the way it's supposed to be. And God is at work graciously redeeming all things to himself, calling us back and giving us life. And those of us in covenant relationship with him are to celebrate that, and we're to shoo buzzards. We're to labor and work until he comes. For he is. Our future is secure. And we have been entrusted with the story and with the song. May we sing. May we proclaim. May we shoo buzzards until we all look at him face to face. And we are embraced by our exceeding great reward. God, help us to live our lives in this world, to be the people you've called us to be people of joy and strength, to be gritty people, willing to do the great and small things in this broken world that reflect your glory and make a way for your covenant and your manifest presence. Help us through the power of the Spirit of Jesus the Christ, we pray, saying together, amen.